and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. Good to be back with you.
We are glad to have you back here at KUT. We're recording these episodes in our KUT studios.
And I love it. And I have a KUT mug
you gave me.
Thank you very much for that.
Well, you gave me a Southwestern mug, so I had to return the favor. So
detente.
There it is. So, Ed, I want to talk today about a phrase that you used in a previous episode that really caught my attention. I jotted it down and thought we've got to talk about that later.
Sure.
So do you recall using the following phrase? I don't mean this to be such an interrogation. Do you recall...
Do you want to swear me in?
Yes, please. You said, you used the following phrase, to be careful, you don't want to hurt yourself intellectually. And I thought, oh my goodness, what? You know, I had never heard that phrase and I wasn't sure what you meant by it. But I thought it might be fertile ground for a discussion.
Well, I love the poetry of it. I have no idea what the context was that we were talking about. But I'm not so sure about saying that we should avoid hurting ourselves intellectually. I mean, if you ask me this just cold, I mean, my thinking is that in some sense, a bit of intellectual hurt is good for us.
So what does intellectual hurt mean?
To me, it means going out of your comfort zone. And so exploring worlds that are uncomfortable for you or are worlds that just might not resonate with you. So I'll give you a quick example. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of advising of students, and I tend to advise the more mathy students since I'm a mathematician. And in my career, I will sit down occasionally with a student who's interested in math, and I'll say, okay, so tell me about where your weaknesses lie. And the student might respond, well, I'm not very good, with reading and making and writing. I'm just really bad at writing. And so I say, okay, so what's the therefore? What's the conclusion? And their conclusion, of course, often is in my career had been, well, avoid, English classes, literature classes, history classes, and so forth. Whereas my conclusion is you need to immerse yourself in those classes so that you can improve. And that's a way of hurting yourself intellectually.
Is there a way, though, this is making me think of some other conversations we've had. Don't we need to pair that, though, with sort of the understanding that you are reaching out of your comfort zone and that it may be a bit challenging. So it's not enough just to say, yes, I'm putting in quotes, hurt myself intellectually. In other words, I'm going to take a class in an area I'm not comfortable with. I'm going to maybe go back and take a class with a teacher that I didn't have a great experience with, but I want to, give it another try. Or, that we should do that with an awareness of what we're doing as opposed to just kind of blindly moving forward.
That's exactly right. I mean, I would put it by saying that if we are attempting to hurt ourselves intellectually, intentionally, we need to do it effectively. There has to be a consciousness of understanding and thought as to why we are going out of our comfort zone and what our expectations are and what expectations will be challenged so that we have this experience that will truly allow us to grow. The point of hurting ourselves intellectually, and again, I don't know the context for this, I was probably talking about calculus or something, I'm sure, but hurting ourselves intellectually, what it means to me today is that we need to go out and explore worlds that are unfamiliar to us, and we shouldn't avoid that. So many students today are so focused on their GPAs and getting into medical school or law school or professional school or graduate school or getting a great job because they have a great GPA that they will avoid the areas that might intrigue them, that might tickle their curiosity or their intellect, but because I'm not good in it. I am not great at painting, so I'm going to avoid art. I'm not good at this, so I'm going to avoid that. That, to me, is the antithesis of a liberal arts and science education, where the idea is exploration. And to explore, that means you're going to trip, and to trip means you're going to hurt yourself, and you're going to do that intellectually.
Is there ever an academic situation when maybe you have done this before, or can you think of a scenario where it just doesn't make sense for a certain student to pursue a certain subject? I mean, are all subjects really
open
and okay for literally everybody.
Okay. Now,
I realize that's a huge general...
I understand. And I have to be honest, this is now a personal... This is my feeling. This is not a fact. But I am ever the optimist. Anyone who knows me knows that for me, the glass is never half full. It's always overflowing. And I believe, at least in the context of math, I've always said that anyone who wants to can master ideas of mathematics. They have to want to. So if they don't want to, then maybe not. But if you bring me any student with any background in any capacity, if they have a curiosity toward mathematics, I have always said, and I continue to say, I can teach that person to make meaning and have deep understanding of mathematical ideas. And I could be wrong. That's just my ever optimistic feeling.
But I love that you threw in the phrase, they have to want to.
Absolutely.
Because we do come out of school with a lot of those messages of have to, requirement, and somewhere in there, some students may lose just the, wow, I'd love to take some more of this, or wow, I really was jazzed by that. I got a C, but that's okay. I loved it, you know. And so that I have to want to, I actually
want
think
to explore.
I actually think is a really critical part of it.
And this reminds me actually something else. If I can just plug a really cool event that's going to happen at Southwestern, speaking of this idea of hurting yourself intellectually.
All right, now I'm very intrigued.
No,
is this event, Ed?
Every other year, Southwestern University hosts a symposium. It's called the Brown Symposium. It is a truly international event where we bring in scholars and artists and experts from around the globe to Georgetown, Texas. These are open to the public and free to everybody. And there is a meta theme. And then within that theme, we have exploration. And it's funny because this year, by the way, it's going to be on March 1st through 3rd. So March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of this year. If you go to southwestern.edu and just search for Brown Symposium Southwestern, you'll get the information, the schedule, all the speakers. But what's interesting about it is hurting yourself intellectually. This is what got me thinking about it. The theme, I think, is right on target with our conversation.
What is it?
It's art and revolution.
Ooh.
Which I mean, to me, that's hurting yourself both intellectually and otherwise because, you know, to me, revolution is when things change.
Sure.
So when things change musically, in art, in terms of visual art, impressionism is a great example. I mean, that was a revolution when that came to be. And people hurt themselves when they first saw impressionistic paintings. They didn't know what they were looking at. They didn't know how to see it. It was a true revolution. And it's interesting, when the reviews of the Paris salons were written, every reviewer panned it, but one reviewer actually wrote, these aren't paintings, these are impressions, which was an insult, and it turned out, of course, to be the moniker that ended up being this revolutionary thing. So this idea of revolution is an opportunity when people are hurting themselves intellectually or artistically.
Well, I sometimes feel as if, I don't think the puzzlers hurt necessarily.
Yes, they do.
Sometimes.
We've had some that hurt.
Sometimes they do, but
I've got one that's a delicious one.
Okay, let's do the delicious
puzzle.
Not hurtful puzzle.
Not hurtful.
Right. Puzzle.
So here is the puzzler for this episode.
Okay.
So Jennifer and Ed both have apples.
Okay.
If Jennifer gives Ed an apple, they will both have the same number of apples.
Oh, no. All right. Okay.
Wait a minute. This is supposed to be...
Okay.
This is supposed to be hurting yourself intellectually.
Okay, good. Well, we're well down that path.
All right. So if Jennifer gives Ed an apple, they will both have the same number of apples. However, if Ed gives Jennifer an apple, Jennifer will have twice as many as Ed.
Okay.
So if I give you an apple, then in fact you will have twice as many as I. The question, of course, is how many apples do Jennifer and Ed each have?
So when we first open on the puzzler,
how many
apples does each of us have?
Thank you.
Okay. Do you like my rendering of apples?
Oh, let me see.
Well, they're just
little dots.
Yeah.
Oh, they're good. They're good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This one has a little bit more of that algebra feel that everyone tries to avoid, but in the spirit of hurting ourselves intellectually. And you can do this without algebra if you just think through what these things mean. What does it mean that if Jennifer gives Ed an apple, they'll have the same number of apples? What does it mean if Ed gives Jennifer an apple, Jennifer will have twice as many as Ed? If you just think about what those mean separately and then slowly bring them together, you can actually figure this out.
Yeah.
Or of course, you can just use trial and error.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, it's and I would highly recommend dots and arrows.
There you go.
It's always helpful for me to kind of jot these down and try to work them out visually instead of just keeping it all
in my head.
You are
a visual learner, which is very interesting.
Yeah,
I find that intriguing.
And you know what else is interesting to me about that is sort of going back to to exploring unfamiliar fields is that if you took me out of an academic or, say, a puzzle type context and said, why don't you draw some apples, I would freeze or panic, or I might do it, but I wouldn't show it to anybody. I do not consider myself a visually talented or artistic person in the slightest. So when I do our puzzlers, I just about all the time will jot them down and do something visually to solve them. But I do not enjoy the pursuit of art as creating it at all.
You know, this brings up a really thought-provoking reflection that you're sharing with everyone, and I want to articulate it in a way that's more directive and maybe could be useful to our listeners and to me, especially when you're thinking about hurting yourself intellectually. Like, you know, what if every issue that comes to pass in front of you, whether it's professional or personal or otherwise, that you need to face, so it could be a problem that you face or a puzzle, if you will, work-related, personal-related, or just whatever, what if you treated it like a puzzle and said, hey, here's a puzzle that someone has given me, and so instead of using what I typically use, I will free myself to draw dots for images and try to visualize it and look from it. Look at it at all angles and whatnot. In some sense, what you're doing is applying some of the five elements of effective thinking, quite frankly. But what if you thought of the issues that arise in our everyday lives as puzzlers and then free yourself to use the things that you'd use to solve a puzzler to solve those things? I bet you'd be more effective at actually solving them and therefore experience a little bit less intellectual hurt.
I love that idea. I'm going to try that, and I will report back.
Report back.
On
That's your homework.
That is our homework. Oh, no, homework. You know, just to wrap up here, Ed, as we're talking about, we're sort of hearkening back to a phrase you used about hurting yourself intellectually. Hurt always makes me think of, well, what's sort of the companion word or opposite word of hurt, and that's heal.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts as we wrap up on if you also think there is a companion, you know, healing ourselves intellectually.
That's a wonderful thought. I think the answer is yes. And you see that after you have, in some sense, had a triumphant moment, and it doesn't have to be a grand one, but it could be a very modest one, where you have achieved some level, some deeper level of understanding. And it could be at a very, you know, basic level, or it could be at great depths and at a profound level. But by making that, having that journey of making that difference and seeing it, to me, is a healing process, because in some sense, it's that triumphant moment where you say, wow, like that aha moment, I see it, or I have it, or I got it, I figured it out. I don't know if maybe healing is not the exact right word, but the idea that you have a glorious moment. And so, you know, the hurt begins to feel good because that was requisite to have that triumph. And I think that becomes part of the healing. But I think that we should think about hurting ourselves intellectually as a positive thing. So it's not a matter of healing, but it's a matter of investing, and then we will reap the dividend of it another day.
Well, thank you, Ed, for helping us keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. And you can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT News.